It's the Tiltcast, episode 598, Space Pork.
And this week, guys, we talk more Star Trekker, we talk Space Marine 2, more Satisfactory, and Breachway. Stay tuned.
Square pigs.
Pork noises.
We doing?
That one was all natural.
It is the Tiltcast.
The weird cast. I mean, the Tiltcast.
It is 87 degrees on September 29th in 2024. We are back. It's an in-ring show. I'm Nos.
I'm Jason.
I'm Rusty.
And with the three of us, you're going to get up 30 minutes of bullshit.
Bullshit.
Games and news. Yeah, it's been a week. Been another week. We're back at it again. We're doing things and stuff.
We are doing things and stuff. That is for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'm going to war. Right now, this is, you son of a bitch. Oh, you prick. All right. I'm going to war because apparently, the freaking house flies are out in full force up north here. And, man, I think I've gone and like murdered about a billion of these damn things. They're like fucking hydras, man. And you kill one and fucking two more pop up. And for some reason, they love to dive bomb my eyeballs. And I can't kill enough of these damn things. I wear like, glasses.
Like how many of them?
Bomb right, huh?
Like how many of them?
I mean, it's not like plague level or anything like that. They're just enough of, they just fly around enough to be a nuisance. And I swear, I have killed a bunch of them. Like, I swear I have hit them with this fly swatter. But, man, they just keep coming back. And I know they're dead.
How is that even possible with as far north as you are?
Well, I mean, it was kind of warm for the day, and this fall's been kind of, well, not fall. It was like 80 degrees today, and man, there was, I don't know where they're fucking coming from. Honestly, I don't know. They're probably, you know, drifting in on fucking bear farts or some shit. I have no clue. What I do know is I love winter only because there ain't no goddamn bugs outside.
I love winter because there's no goddamn bugs outside. And I don't start to ball sweat just walking from my car into my building at work. Or just stepping outside to my shed to get, you know, like my lawnmower out or something. So before I even started work, ball sweat. That's what summers are like here.
Well, I'm good with not having to deal with the ball sweat for sure. But, I mean, I haven't had to deal with an invasion of house flies this fucking, you know, this strong, you know, for a long ass time. And I'm like, man, they just piss you off too. Especially if they, when they're dive bombing, you're trying to freaking focus, playing a video game, and they dive bomb your nose and try to like fucking dry hump your goddamn nostril or some shit. I have no idea what the fuck they're doing, but man, they love it. And then they find the most sensitive hairs on your arm to land on and fuck around with. I swear, in a quiet room, I can hear him laugh. That's why I've got the fly swatter out. That's my weapon of choice. My salt shooter, my salt shotgun is actually at work because the ones that we get at work are about the size of bumblebees. So we need the big guns there. Those come in off of deer farts, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, man, leave the bees alone. What did they do to you?
No. These aren't bees. These are flies the size of bees.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, these are not. No. I don't shoot bees.
So these are fucking horse flies.
They're something. They're fucking small bats is what they look like. And man. I don't know. I still don't know what the deal is, but they love to dive bomb face, and they need to die. Every one of them. That's, my goal. That's my goal. Them and fucking mosquitoes, they can go away.
Well, then. Been doing everything pictures again for most of this week. So yeah. It's been a busy week. What the fuck, Jason, is that?
I don't know what the fuck that is, but it does not need to be anywhere near the house. Holy shit.
In apartments. In apartments,
That is a Midas fly.
I don't know if you've ever seen a Midas fly, but I would wager to say if you're listening to this and you can, look that shit up, because if Midas flies were flying around my house, it would be a literal shotgun that I would use.
That reminds me when you're in the when you're in an apartment and you say you have roaches that are like half that size, right?
Oh yeah,
they just call them water bugs. That's what they did with me and Trent. Of course,
they're not water bugs. No, water.
I know what a water bug is. We looked it up. We caught one and looked it up. I was like, "That's a fucking roach, dude."
That's not a water bug.
To be fair, that long ago when we were, I haven't been in that apartment in 10 years. I've grown up a lot in 10 years. That apartment was filthy.
Oh yeah,
there was ash in the carpet. Like, we smoked so many cigarettes, like, there was ash in the carpet.
I mean,
like, it looked like everything changed colors when we finally started cleaning in there. Started cleaning about the last, I don't know, year that I lived there. But I haven't lived there since 2014. I didn't really know how to cook that well even back then either.
Well, no. I mean, you were pretty much regulated to whatever you could cook on stovetop or like, in the microwave, because who trusted that ancient fucking oven? I know Trent did occasionally, but
I mean, the occasional frozen pizza, maybe, but that's about it. Like, what are you out? Like, $5 if
something burnt? Fast food is also super cheap back then, and I wasn't on any kind of diet. It was also rapidly gaining weight when I lived there. In 5 years, I gained 100 pounds. I ate a lot of Burger King, a lot of McDonald's, a lot of Goldie's, whatever was on special, a lot of Taco Bueno, which is shit.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of KFC or Charlie's Chicken.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things, because you could get lunch for $5 and dinner for $5 back then, and that was cheaper than grocery shopping. Occasionally get a little bit broke.
For a single person, yeah, it was.
It's not quite the same now. I remember
those days well.
Right. If you're going to go out to eat for lunch and dinner nowadays, you're very easily looking at about $30 on the cheap end. If you eat both meals, unless you're just getting like the absolute special and you can probably crank by a little over $20. But on groceries still, as expensive as groceries are still, I can survive on less than $20 a day. I don't even know where I was going with that. Oh, roaches.
Groceries, it was cheaper than eating out to tea if basically all you were eating was basic ass fucking sandwiches and ramen all the time. You know, but that even nowadays is still, you know, a lot cheaper. You're looking at like, you know, $2-2.5 per, right?
Yeah, my budget for eating out every week was $50.
Extremely bad. That's worse than eating fast food.
Yeah, I was eating, my eating out budget was $50 a week. This was what I gave myself. And I pulled out cash, and that's what I, and then when I was learning a lot on cash, I was like, maybe I should buy some stuff in the grocery store. But,
damn.
Yeah, I was back when, shit, there was, I started cooking more at one point. I was getting away with like $35 a week back then.
We also worked a lot of closing shifts back then. So, you know, it was like,
yeah, what's open?
A lot easier to just run out for lunch, or, you know, go to the little cafe they had in the building for lunch, and then, you know, grab something on your way home. Because, you know, back during that time, the like the only stores that were open when we whenever we left work was if you were brave enough to brave Walmart after 11 p.m., which was never pretty.
Yeah, it was it's when all the people want, the meth addicts would be in Walmart.
Yeah, but now so many restaurants were, you know, at that time, like in the early 2000s, so many of the restaurants were starting to experiment with staying open until midnight, 1 a.m., you know, and you could just drive through, pick up a burger, pick up a few tacos, and get on with your evening post work.
Yeah.
Nah, man.
Yeah, life was cheaper 10 years ago. That was for damn sure.
I miss it.
But yeah, I've been, you know.
I don't miss work. I really don't miss the work.
Been doing a lot of photos. I literally just got done. That's why we're recording on Sunday. So, yeah, I had some time to game, but not as much as I normally do, which means that I did finish a couple of things, but not a lot. Did you do anything interesting, Jason?
I've not done a whole lot. I've played more Star Trekker, and I've watched, we went and took the kids to go see Beetlejuice this last week after the wife and I given it a go a couple weeks ago.
Decided it wasn't scary.
They thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, no, it was more one of those things. Do we generally go watch a movie like that first? Not because we necessarily think it might be too bad to let them see it, as much as it was. We went to see it to see if it was going to be okay for them to see it in the theater, or if it was something we needed to wait till it was out on streaming so we could watch it at home earlier in the day than taking them to a theater in the evening, because, you know, they can still get nightmares from stuff. I mean, they're like our youngest, two or 10 and 11, right? So they're like, their sister went on a real horror kick at the beginning of the year and like watched all the Scream movies, and, you know, much to Crystal's and my chagrin, they had watched three of them before we knew about it. So wow. They watched all of them. And of course, you know, they got some nightmares off of that, because, you know, Scream is Scream and the jump scares are good, right? Right. So, you know, Beetlejuice is just creepy enough that while they've seen the original one enough times, that's usually been during the day and not close to their bedtime. Right. And that's usually where their mind is more heavily influenced by that sort of stuff. So we decided it was all right. So we took them to see it. While the eldest was out with her friends, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. Guys, if you've not watched Beetlejuice yet, it is, if you're willing to go to the theater to watch it, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think, for the most part, it's just as good as the first one. There's like one plot device throughout the movie that kind of was a letdown to me, but other than that, overall, the movie's really great. They just don't make movies like that anymore. You know, there are few directors that are willing to go there, you know, like with their jokes or with some of the themes they're willing to play with. And Tim Burton's still one of those guys, so the movie is worth it. To that extent, if you've been under a rock like Justin and you've not gone to see Deadpool and Wolverine, that one is also really worth it just for the jokes alone.
I've also been under a rock. I haven't watched that movie. But, you know.
I liked 2 better just because, you know, like it had more story. But to Justin's point, he didn't like it as much because it wasn't as joke heavy, right? But I liked the story of Deadpool 2. You know, it was fine to me. But this Deadpool is funnier than 1.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, you know, I'm waiting for it to come to streaming, to be honest with you.
Of course you are.
And it's a total fucking spectacle movie, you know? I mean, there's fucking fight scenes and CG stuff galore. And all looks great, you know? It doesn't look like unfinished like so many CG-heavy movies have recently.
No, I've just been disappointed with all of Hollywood, you know, just in general. So I don't think I've actually gone and seen a movie in the last, I don't know. Since I moved up here, I think. I don't think I've actually gone to a movie up here.
I'm surprised your brother hasn't dragged you to one.
Every so often, you know, but like when I came up to visit, they would go to the movies, but I mean,
now you're just part of daily life, so it's not a special thing to go take big bro out to a movie now.
I guess. I'm just down the street now, so you know, if a movie happens, it's, you know, it's probably on the 70-inch, you know.
Right.
The food's better at home anyway. Way less expensive. That and the movie theaters up here kind of suck. Like there's different levels of movie theater where you're at. There's one up here and it always kind of smelled like pee.
Well, yeah, cause it's like super old, right? So well, you have, I mean, that.
They got, there was 2 movie theaters, but one of them turned into a Dunham's sports store. That was the one that I used to sneak pizzas into when I was a kid. That place was awesome. Not just because I could sneak pizzas into it, but you know, it was just a better movie theater. And then the other, you know, the other movie theater is just barely hanging on. I don't ever actually see any cars out in front of it. So I don't know if that's even going to be a thing anymore. So I don't know. Going to the movies is just not a thing for, you know, for me. You know, even you know, even when there was a cheap movie theater down the, you know, just within walking distance of my apartment, you know, back in the day, it was not a thing that I used to do. I just don't do crowds. I will go watch a movie like just before it, you know, goes to streaming because I'm like the only person in the, you know, in the movie theater. That's a perfect experience for me.
Yep. Agreed.
I just don't really go to movies by myself, and then it's kind of a whole evening thing.
I mean, I watched all of I watched all of the Lord of the Rings movies that way. I went to went to the movie theater like weeks and weeks after it, you know, after it came out, and I was like one of maybe five people in the theater, but. And that was the greatest, you know, movie watching experience I could have, you know, but home surround sound systems and 70-inch televisions these days, you really don't need that. You really don't need the cinema experience. That's just my opinion. I'm an introvert though. I'm like an ultra introvert, is that a thing?
An ultravert.
I don't know. Internet. What is an ultravert? Urban Dictionary says a person who is neither introverted nor extroverted, but both at times. An ultravert can be recognized by his wavering attitudes towards group interaction. At times, an ultravert is the center of attention, running the show, being the life of the party, and other times, an ultravert will wish to be by himself without interruption, to think or brood. Okay. I guess I am an ultravert.
Nice.
These are things you find out from the internet, just randomly. Yeah.
But, yeah. But anyway, so, you know, it was a fairly good week, and then yesterday morning, for whatever reason, I woke up, like, with my back out.
Oof.
Don't know how. I didn't, like, do any heavy lifting or anything. Just woke up that way, so I must have slept in a bad position, like, hard all night or something, but... Yeah, I've not been able to stand up straight all weekend. That's awesome.
You are the youngest old man I know.
I've been the youngest old man you know for, well, shit, since you met me 15 years ago.
You're right. But, I mean...
Oh, shit, it's been longer than 15 years now.
Oh, Jesus. It really has been, hasn't it? Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's been, like, almost 18 years, dude.
Oh, shit. I'm going to have to tell Cam that he's going to have to step up his game. Right. Wow.
For years spent in physical distance.
Mm-hmm.
For your lives. Yeah.
Damn it. Son of a...
So...
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much all I did. So did any of you guys do anything interesting?
I think we just covered that, Jason. While you're over there playing Minecraft or jerking off.
Well, I didn't hear you guys really say much other than Rusty's flies.
What? 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 No. Hey, look, I am quite the Lord of the Flies.
Sometimes I feel like Jason, this is how Jason's wife must feel. We've been talking for like 30 minutes.
All right. So, in my defense, I am trying to multitask because I ended up having to, the last Windows update broke something with my PC. So when I booted it up like 6 hours ago to start producing last week's episode to upload, this week, I ended up spending 5 hours to fucking run down what the problem was. Basically, there was a conflict with the motherboard BIOS and one of the drivers on the motherboard that disabled XMP and disabled the USB drivers.
That sucks.
That really sucks.
Yeah, that really blew. So, like, keyboard and mouse would still work because, you know, the human interface device drivers for those two specific USB ports on the board weren't affected, but every other USB port was. So I ended up having to go through all kinds of Gigabyte forums and Reddit to find out what the hell was going on. And it just came down to there was that I needed to install two new versions of the driver for my motherboard that I didn't realize had come out. But if I hadn't figured that out, I wouldn't be recording because you guys wouldn't be able to hear me.
Fair enough.
Land, you bitch.
So now I'm producing while trying to record because, you know, we've only got like a few hours before my old man bedtime and I have to be up at 4:30 in the morning.
I'm hunting fucking more flies. Goddamn thing. Blew up my fucking nose just now.
What the fuck?
I don't know, man. It's my fucking right nostril is the goddamn fly love tunnel or some shit, man. I need to fucking what? I don't know what the fuck the deal is. I really don't. It's driving me nuts. I'm going insane.
you need to get like one of those like wall socket
like bug zapper
black light bug zappers that you can like plug into the basement like right outside your room there.
I don't need a little black light. No. I don't do things by half measures. I'm going to get a fucking like Tesla globe. It's going to be at the in the middle of the fucking room. If you walk within 5 feet of the damn thing, you get shot with lightning, and I want the fucking bugs to die. Oh, yeah. I want them to die.
That'll be great for your electronic equipment.
You know what?
Just a bunch of AC current out there.
I'll just have Faraday cages around everything. And then the fucking flies will fly into the Faraday cage. I'm going to have to go really, really tight mesh on that Faraday cage.
I started saying that'll be real great for all of your wireless equipment.
I don't care. I don't use wireless. Who needs wireless? The bugs will die.
Speaking of bugs, I was taking pictures today and went over to my buddy Steven's house, and he's an electronic artist. He plays in Trent and John's band and also has a solo project, and I was doing promos for his solo project so that when he does his starts advertising for it and he gets art done and all that stuff, which is why I can't post this for like forever. He has like a studio, right, which is like a man shed that he's got in the backyard. It's got an AC unit, right, and it is the most Nine Inch Nails rehearsal space I've ever been in. It is so dark in there. He has two bare bulbs. And so he's got two bare bulbs inside of here. And I don't think you've been over to Steven's house. Shit, I hadn't even been over there.
I thought you were talking about Trent's. I'm sorry. I missed you saying it was Steven's.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was Trent's.
Yeah, so anyways.
It's pretty damn dark, too.
No, this takes the cake. He has two bare bulbs in there and a little lamp. And then, of course, he's got his computer screens and he's got a rack of like five guitars and his bass and like speakers all over the place and synthesizers and samplers. And like, it is a very full shed. The window's blacked out. And then he's got like camo netting on the ceiling. So it's like every surface is a dark color. And I walked in there and he's like, so I got some lights. It's like, Steven, like I can see my hand in front of my face. It's like, I don't know how you play in here. This is so dark. So anyways, I go to put my, I've got a backdrop because it's very jam packed. Like I took all of these photos in a, I don't know, like a 15 by 15 space, a fairly small space for me to take photos. I mean, I turned it into a studio, but like I have a panel of backdrop. I use a black backdrop that has like a frame. It expands pretty big. Like it's, I've got 30 feet by 30 feet worth of, 30 feet by 40 feet worth of material, right? So I can cover, like I've done photo shoots in people's garages and I can cover the whole garage in black basically, right? So that I remove the fact that I'm shooting in their garage and shooting pictures. And so I got about half of his space, you know, covered in the black material I'm using as my backdrop and bring in my lights. And a spider crawls by and I was like, Steven, what the fuck? He's like, oh yeah, there used to be lots of brown recluses in here until the wolf spiders moved in and now they've eaten them all. It's like, how many spiders are in here? He's like, I don't know, probably hundreds. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God. Never going into that room ever.
So when we were done
for the warning.
So like, even as I'm like spreading it out, like spiders skitter off, right? And then skitter across the, he's like, it's just wolf spiders. It's like, man, I'm glad I'm not entirely arachnophobic.
I would never.
But yeah, when we got done, we went out into his backyard and we shook out my backdrops. I was mm-hmm. like, I don't need my whole car infested with wolf spiders, dude.
Wolf spiders are like, they're harmless and I get that. But no.
Oh, yeah. He totally picked up the one that was like crawling across and like tossed it out the door. I was like, you have zero fear of these. He's like, yeah, it's wolf spiders.
Yeah. I've picked them up barehanded and just walked them out of the house when my kids are screaming, kill it, kill it, kill it.
I mean.
And he's got a point. Like, they're eating all the other bugs. That's fine. But.
Yeah. Well, and they'll eat brown recluse. I've even seen wolf spiders take out black widows when, you know, they can catch them by surprise, right? Because, like, the black widow is, like, the ultimate surprise hunter. But, yeah, they do a lot of good. They just look intimidating because they get big, like, and they look nasty.
And Australians are like, yeah, you've never met the huntsman, have you?
Yeah, those right. backdrops are still sitting in the back of my car. I haven't brought them in yet because I'm going to shake them out again. Like, I want to get out in the driveway and shake them out. Like, they're big. It's really hard to, like, shake them out. Like, I don't even properly fold them. Like, I just kind of roll them up mm-hmm. because they're – and they don't really hold wrinkles because they're heavy. So, it's – you know, like, you spread them on the floor, too, so they're kind of dirty. I need to clean them at some point. There's a lot of fabric. Maybe that's what I can do. I'll just leave them back there and straight from here to the dry cleaners and just have them clean it. And then they can find spiders. And then I'll know that they've been dry cleaned, right?
They've been treated with all kinds of chemical.
I really don't want to bring them in the house yet, though. Like, they're still in the back of my car. Anyways, video games. We've been doing that, right? Kind of going to go around robin and not just speak about everything I played. I'm just going to speak about one thing. Space Marine 2, I is really good.
Yes.
That was really good. And, like, once you unlock the power hammer, I think I almost stopped using my guns.
Yeah, like, melee's kind of crazy.
The hammer is intense. Like, and you get health back by doing damage with it. So I just did damage, like elite. Like I was singling out elites and just going around and like power smashing faces. Like, oh my god, it was good. I don't understand any negative comments about this game. I understand one. It is short. I think I put about 9-ish hours in it. But that's not. There's a bunch of other stuff that like kind of require multiplayer, like a lot of like co-op stuff that you can do that are separate missions from the main missions. And then they've kind of got like a horde mode on the side. So, you know, if I had a buddy that wanted to play it, that would be great. But because there's a whole like class system outside of this, you got infiltrators, like heavies, like I think there's four classes that are outside of that. But it's man, it's satisfying. It's just a video game ass video game.
It really is.
Story's not awful, not great. Definitely set up for a sequel. In fact, kind of thought game was going to keep going. Like at the end of the game, I was like, "Is there an end then here?" I was like, "No, it's an end. Then there will be a, like this. Definitely set up for a sequel." I don't know how they predicted that it would be good, like or set up that way.
Like it was the same with the first one. I mean, the first one was a little bit more close-ended, but not. They left space for a sequel in the first one.
Sort of. Like it happens, what, 100 years after the first one? Isn't that right, Rusty?
About, yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it was saying, that he was serving for 100 years. Yeah. But, I mean, Space Marine lives are like super long. So
yeah. So like it, I don't know. There's something. And then the jump jet attacks, like once I got, there was the missions that you had jump jets.
Mm-hmm.
Again, there's an option to like hover and shoot. I just dive. I used it a couple times. I was like, it's way more fun to dive bomb. You've got some reach on that too. Like you go way up and then you come down crashing like a meteor and just explode things into guts. And then it takes like two heavy hits after that to kill an elite. You're just like, damn. And it recharges fast too. Like by the time you're done attacking, like you're ready to go again. Like it's satisfying.
Yeah.
I ended up with some favorite weapons too. The plasma rifle is my absolute favorite. I charged up and shot that thing many times as an opener as I'm getting closer to things. The auto bolter with the grenade launcher was nice for clearing out hordes, and the melta gun was fun, except that it was really not a gun as much as it is like a just explosion in face thing.
It's
like I didn't even aim it.
Shotgun, essentially, what it was.
I didn't even really aim it. I just like it was like the no scope shotgun thing you did in Gears.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's basically how you play that. Like just roll up, like literally, you know, jump forward into the fray and pull trigger. Yeah, because it has like splash damage, like as wide as three Marines, and it takes like two hits to like really knock something off balance. It's so powerful. And then the flat grenade, was it the crack grenades, was my other thing that I liked a lot. I didn't use a lot of normal grenades. The crack grenades, I would hold on to those.
The sticky ones?
Yeah, the ones that you're just like, oh, there's that flying bullshit enemy. I'm just going to hit it with a fucking grenade and knock it down and go annihilate it. Like, that's what I use those for. The other grenades are fun, but like, that was a whole nother level.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a really good game. The spectacle of the game is pretty intense too. This has more spectacle than any Gears game. It's so over the top with just all the shit going on at the same time. Some really big epic fights. Though towards the end, like the fight is epic without being as quite as big. Like somehow,
no, it's
like it's, all around it. It's easy like four, 4.5 out of five game. Like, we haven't had a third person shooter that fucking satisfying in a very long time. Like, holy shit, man.
What I think is the most refreshing of about that, you know, about the game is that it's just in universe. Like, there isn't anything added to it. There isn't any fucking politics, you know, about it. It's just, you know what? It's fucking Space Marines and fucking bugs and fucking bad Space Marines, and you just go to fucking town for the Emperor, you know? No politics involved whatsoever. And I think that is probably the most refreshing bit about the game, is that it's just like it doesn't want to be anything other than a badass video game. You know?
That's because it wasn't made in America.
Well, I mean, there's still other games that aren't made in America that still, you know, do that shit. But it's just, you know, that's what caught me is like, it drops you in. I know enough about 40K to understand what the situation is right off the bat, but you don't need to have all of that pre-knowledge to be able to have fun with it, you know? So it's even more fun if you know kind of what the significance of things are. Like, at the beginning, you know, there's a, you know, you end up fighting a really big Tyranid, right? And he kind of kicks your ass a little bit. But if you've ever, you know, if you've ever played the game, the minis, or if you understand the lore behind it, you know that unit that you were going fucking toe to toe with a goddamn pistol is about as strong as a dreadnought. You know, it is a big unit. It's like you know, taking on a tank with a fucking with a knife. You know,
yeah. The boss fights are pretty fun. There's very much boss fights. I like that at one point you're thinking you're about to get another boss fight, and you see, I can't remember what they're called, but basically like the Warhammer mech suit dudes.
Yeah, Dreadnought.
Dreadnought. Okay, yeah. Yeah, you run into one of those that's like, you're like about to get into what looks like a boss fight, and then that just pops out of the wall and like just fucking like chunks that thing that you were about to fight. And you're like,
mm-hmm.
All right. But yeah, like,
lead me to the slaughter.
Yeah. If I remember, those are like Marines that are trapped inside those things, right?
So, Dreadnoughts are Space Marines that were damaged beyond, you know, beyond any surgical repair. They were able to save them, but they were basically like, you know, cut off at the waist or something like that. They lost both of their legs or whatever, you know, and they continue to serve the Emperor by being placed into a life support containing sarcophagus and basically made one with the machine. And they, you know, the Space Marines that are in the Dreadnoughts can actually feel and touch through the machine. So, you know, they are totally one with the machine, but they have even more of an extended life than a standard Space Marine because they're in a life support sarcophagus. They will eventually basically waste away to almost to a skeleton. And the longest lived Dreadnoughts actually will go insane. So
I didn't realize that you were a student of Warhammer lore.
They have to actually like, you know, they have to, you know, kind of like put them in to a, you know, in kind of like a stasis, you know, until they can be unleashed in battle so that they can unleash their rage. It's crazy.
Yeah, Warhammer lore is pretty intense.
Yeah, and Space Marines are pretty fucking unhinged in pretty much all the lore. Granted, usually it's all focused on the Tyranids, right? Like, that's...
Well, it's not. It's not, really. So, Space Marines, they will see anything that is not human as Xenos or alien.
Oh, yeah, and, true.
And it does not matter whether or not they're closely related or not.
Yeah.
If they are not human, they are dead.
And if they're human and in their way, they are dead.
And if they're human and they don't serve the Emperor, they're dead.
They are dead. because at the core, basically, the Space Marines are just dudes modified with the Emperor's same genos, right?
So, well, they have. So the Emperor made, I want to say 12, but it might have been 13.
13.
His sons, basically, which were the original Primarchs, which are like the leaders of all of the Space Marine chapters. And there's a resource that they cultivate called their gene seed. And that gene seed is what makes a Space Marine a Space Marine. It is derived from the Emperor, but it is not directly from the Emperor.
Right.
And the gene seed is, it's the big Space Marine secret. So,
regardless of all the sidebar that we got into, the Space Marine 2 is a very good game. I think I expected it to be, and I didn't know that I would like it as much as I did. I put it on. It's a hard game to play while you're talking on the phone. Right. And so the only real free time for the most part that I got this week was when I had time to wind down, and I wasn't like, I edited photos through about Saturday night last week. And then I started again. I had a gig on Wednesday that lasted me till about Friday. So I had Friday and then I didn't, and then yesterday and then today I took some more. So, but I don't have another gig for 2 weeks. So that's good.
That is good.
So I have a little bit more time for games, but I'll be out of town next week. So here we are. But yeah, Space Marine 2 is really good. I think everybody that likes Gears of War would like it a lot. A lot. It's as good as Gears of War. I don't think that's blasphemy. It's as good as Gears of War in my mind. It's like Gears 2. Gears 3. Yeah, Gears 3 is definitely better than 4. 3 is like, I think, Pinnacle Gears. But, yeah. So, Jason, did you just play Star Trekker?
Yep.
You getting a lot farther in that game?
I mean, I don't know that the... Let me put it this way. I've played that game like a total of 30 hours, and I've not like hit any kind of ending. So I think it just perpetually keeps going.
It has like a list of missions. Are you not doing any of the missions?
I've just been hauling contracts.
You realize the missions give you upgrades for your stuff, right?
Yeah, but once I had the upgrades I wanted, I just stopped.
There's more upgrades, Jason.
Well, I know, but I got the upgrades I wanted and I stopped.
Are you just doing like the first like four zones missions over and over again? You can't get into the other zones window shades?
Yeah. I can get to like 12 different systems. I've not unlocked all the systems yet, so I know I still need to complete missions, but I've just been having fun with fucking contracts, dude, just running contracts.
I mean, it is that kind of game, so I'll give you that.
I mean, I guess if you were, you know, to just mainline all the missions, according to how long to beat, it's like 40 hours, 41 hours. So, you know, but I've just been repeatedly doing contracts like over and over again. It just keeps serving me contracts, and I'm like, I'm enjoying this. Right?
Right.
So.
Yeah.
What I've been doing. This is definitely going to end up in my game of the year. And hopefully I have time this week to actually open up gosh, I lost my train of thought. Age of Mythology. Because I did install that last week, so I still got to give that a run. For a complete rebuild of Age of Mythology, you know, just want to see kind of what they changed.
Okay. Age of Mythology, man. Going back to the RTS.
Yeah, I thought I was going to play that, and then I just got distracted. What else? What was the other game that I was playing a lot of this week? It's an early access game that I was playing a lot of this week called Breachway. And what was the name of that? Okay, yeah. So you guys are both familiar with Slay the Spire and FTL, right?
Yes.
That's what this game is. You have a series of nodes you fly your ship to. Each of the nodes are different fights or events. The battle is comprised of cards. And the there is a whole pip management thing there for deciding where you want to put your power. Every turn you get more energy. It's like one of three different energies, like one's for tactical, one's for stuff like shields, and one's for your arsenal, your guns, right? And you get those at varying rates. And as you get money from or materials or whatever it is, currency of some sort, you use that to upgrade your reactor to give you more pips, and then you also use that money or whatever to buy new things at spaceports, or you get salvage off things that you destroyed to add to your arsenal to make your ship better. And then you also pick up crew members. The crew members have abilities. Those abilities come into play during their fights. It's really good. I know it doesn't have a lot of ratings on Steam. I don't know how I found out about this. This was one of those games that I saw, you know, on my discovery queue a million years ago, like probably a year ago. And just added it to my wish list. It came up. I was like, oh, that's finally coming out. And so I went ahead and snagged it. I don't know how much I spent on this. I'm actually pulling it up right now. $14.99 is how much I spent on it. That was a good price. And what's your rating sitting at now? It was mixed, but there was hardly any ratings. Mostly positive now. Because there's only 238 ratings. The negative ratings is that it's too hard. I haven't found it too hard. It is still early access. There's only about, I think, four systems you can get to. Getting to the system's kind of hard, though. Getting through the system's pretty hard, to be honest with you. Every time you complete a run, you have different objectives, like to see what your unlocks are, right? But you unlock ships for your permanent upgrades, and you unlock, like, additional, like, you can unlock up to three extra, like, helper abilities to help you get started, like, start off with more fuel or more money or, like, more energy, etc., stuff like that, right? And you do that by kind of completing certain things while you're doing your run. So before you get started, kind of look and see what you got that needs to be unlocked and what you need to do it. Make that your goal and do that during your run if possible. But the in-between of actually playing the game is actually pretty fun. It's got a pretty good rhythm to it. The systems, the ships all work pretty differently. The starter ship is not bad. It's pretty well-rounded with its shields and its weapon mounts and all that other stuff. But yeah, it kind of has, it's the spirit of FTL and Slay the Spire mashed up. And I'm not just saying FTL because you're a spaceship and you're managing pips, but kind of. Like, kind of. And then the Slay the, like, the card battler part of it actually works pretty fluidly. Like, I think my most successful runs with the starter ship have been with missiles. There was a card I found called Retaliation. So you just basically need to fire guns 3 rounds in a row, and then it launches 3 missiles at the other ship that all explode the following round. So it's kind of satisfying. Like, when it's done, you see like 3 missiles kind of launch from your ship. And on the other panel where the ship is, because it's kind of split up like a comic book, right? You got your panel where your ship is and the panel on the right where the enemy ship is. You see the icon that there's 3 missiles ready to hit that ship. And then if it doesn't shoot them down, which you can only do with certain cards, then 3 missiles now hit that ship. Like, I kind of like the card combat. I do like cards games, especially ones with lots of animations. I like the random ability of, or the randomization of, like, okay, here's the hand I got. How do I make it work for me? But yeah, it's pretty fun. It's very good talking on the phone, listening to a podcast or music kind of game too. Music's not bad. Sound effects aren't bad, but it not enough pertinent going on that I have to like put like Space Marine. You kind of want the full experience. I wasn't listening to a podcast while I was playing that game.
Yeah,
you had everything cranked way the hell up. Right. Like that's how that game's meant to be played. It wants all of your attention, and thankfully it's, you know, not for real long bursts of time, but it's pretty good. I picked up RoboCop and it did not crash after the first mission, so that may be a game that I'm playing next week. At least a little bit. And then
is that a problem for it?
No. That was the problem. That was the whole reason I refunded it on Epic. Is it just It's the only game I refunded on Epic. I played it, and it kept crashing after the first mission. Like, after the cutscene, it would just crash. And I was like, okay, well, it's $19.99. Steam's got a similar refund policy. Let me see how far I can get. And if it crashes, I'm refunding it again. No, it plays. Plays really good. So I will definitely be playing more of that at some point. And then Tehran Games, I guess is who it is, have released a game called Terminator Resistance. And I started playing a little bit more of that. It's a different kind of game. It's kind of like a hide and seek, stealthy, loot all the boxes kind of game, and kind of build up your character so they can take on things like T-800s, which I'm finally in a place where I can take them down. It took me a couple hours, but kind of the opening missions of the game, like, wants you to sneak past those and like hack turrets to make those fire at the T-800s. So there's a whole lot of like going through like air ducts and collecting things and then finding things for people at your base. And then until you join the resistance, when the game opens up a little bit more and then the missions get a little bit longer and you have the strength to take on a Terminator, because you have to have plasma weapons in order to take down a Terminator. But very much like a double-A game, maybe a single-A game. It was kind of one of their earlier efforts, but it's pretty fun. I think it's been kind of pushed to the side because it was released on consoles. It's definitely a PC-ass kind of Eurojank kind of game, but it seems pretty good so far. I haven't gotten long enough playtime into it to kind of decide what my take is on it. But from what I understand, it's about a 20-plus hour game. So, and I got that like $8.99 or something during the summer sale. So I'm kind of doing that thing where I'm working my way through my backlog, more or less. But yeah, Russ, you've been playing Satisfactory still, right? You're playing Satisfactory right now.
I am.
How far are you right now?
So I'm not very far because I've kind of had a hell of a week. I've gotten through, let's see, all but one of tier three, actually going for basic steel construction or production right now.
How am I farther than you?
Huh?
How am I farther than you in Satisfactory? I stopped playing it on
because Tuesday. I have other, you know, I have a other game that I play and it takes up a lot of time. That, and I will have moments where, so in Satisfactory, I kind of have moments where I have, kind of like a writer's block almost. Like I don't necessarily know what I want to build. And in the process of not knowing what I want to build, I just, and so many fucking possibilities, I just shut down and I go and play another game. It's a game that I spend a lot of, it doesn't take a whole lot to play, but in days where I'm just overwhelmed, it's not a good game for me. I need something that, you know, is not as sandboxy as this is. Not a bad game. You know, by any means, I love this game, a lot, and it is fun as fuck. And, you know, the worst thing that I could do to myself is go on, you know, onto YouTube and watch people build these really fucking beautiful, like encased factories, right? Those are the worst fucking thing for me because I feel like, I feel like I'm not doing it right if I watch those. And honestly, I will get to that point. And last time I played this game, I was at that point.
I don't like those videos because it seems it's for the perfectionist builder to build things in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out I'm not to probably like until. I want to say like Sunday, I didn't know that there was another, I didn't think to check build mode on conveyor belts to see if there was a different way to curve things at 90 degree angles. And so my stuff literally looks like spaghetti all over the map. I've got conveyor belts traveling for over a mile in all sorts of crazy patterns, right? Like I have two running from a coal deposit all the way to a, what is it? To my steel mill, it's running 1.5 kilometers because I kind of wish it had English measurements so that I could think about it differently. But anyways, yeah, it's 1.5 kilometers. And that thing, like I ran two, but I couldn't get it quite parallel, right? So I just kind of like build one like out 100 feet, then another one out 100 feet or, you know, I don't know what the fucking meters are for that, 30 meters, whatever. 32.3. So I'd run it like that, and it is not perfect and it is not straight. And you can see that spaghetti line running for a very long, like it's running up the side of a mountain. It goes across a lake because I built up portions of the lake and then zigzagged it up the side of a mountain to get it to come closer to my base. And then I found natural way down after I'd gotten that built. So, and I'm not going back and rebuilding it because it was a lot of fucking work. Building my way up at the side of a mountain with fucking conveyor belts. So yeah, my stuff is like chaotic as fuck, but at least the stuff that's on my concrete pad that I've got everything up to a steel mill for raw materials on right now is pretty straight. Like I've got all the machines lined up straight, but my belts aren't all quite straight. And I thought about going back and like straightening all that up. And I was like, I'm the only one looking at this. right. And so I was just like, but it all works. It all works.
Whatever works, man.
Yeah, like I didn't want to slow down production on my tier three materials because I got oil unlocked. That's where I stopped. I was like, okay, so now I need to go the closest oil deposit to my factory is 1,800 meters away.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long way. And I know I've got to like get one of my trucks and set pathing for my truck, but I need to just get there and see how I get there. You know what I mean? I need to see that before I start to set some kind of path so I could do the logistics of setting up a truck station, you know, all that shit. But from what I understand, you like literally have to drive it. So it needs to be driven over there, right? Or am I wrong?
You do have to kind of drive it over to where you're going. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you'd have to like map out the path for it to drive, right?
Yeah, you get onto the truck, you start there's a record button, and you record the path. So, what I found is...
I thought about just building a fucking road at this point.
Yep, that's what I found is you get to a point where you're just like, okay, let's build a road, and that will make things go at a specific angle. And at a specific, or go flat. So, you have a easier time dealing with, with obstacles and shit. And do your roads like two lane, just zoop them out. by zooping, you can get 10 foundations in a line. And it's real easy to just continue that going. But yeah, you want to make your roads at least two foundations wide.
Well, and I've got like three concrete factories going right now, so I have like containers of concrete.
Yeah.
So which you need to build every surface with anyway.
Yeah, you need iron plates for it too. So
I think I got 10 iron mines going right now.
Okay, well, I don't have that, but I have, where I spawned, I have pure iron nodes. So all of my production is off of two pure iron nodes right now, and I have two other pure iron nodes that are waiting for steel fabrication.
Yeah, it's kind of like the pacing of this game is it gives you a goal of send these things into space and we will unlock more things for you and you keep working towards that goal. But while you can build some of these things manually, you can't build everything manually. Some things have to be built by machines, right? And so the real goal is how do I effectively and efficiently make those materials to send to space in order to progress to the next tier? And then eventually there's an end of the game. There was somebody that beat the game recently, like within, I want to say a week after it launched, did all the things they needed to do to beat the game.
Yeah. And it takes a while.
It's pretty long. I got 30 hours in it right now. I'm working on tier four right now. I think, right? Like that's the oil tier, right?
I don't know. I haven't unlocked it yet.
Yeah. I pretty quickly figured out what I needed to do to unlock the things for tier three, and my production line wasn't very fast, so like I just let that happen while I started got everything set up to do just that, and then set up basics, and then kind of like scouted around and did upgrades for my like alien materials and things like that. Mm-hmm. And upgraded mobility, like personal mobility upgrades, so like the parachute is pretty handy. And the jetpack is super handy. Like, the jetpack is a must. The rebar gun is also a must. And I've got the rebar gun and the rebar shotgun right now. And pretty soon I'll be able to unlock the rifle. There is combat in the game from hostile creatures. And some of those hostile creatures are kind of tough. Those fucking, like, spider cricket things. Like, fuck those.
Funny thing about those spider cricket things is... those have a anti-arachnophobic setting in the game. I guess one of the, you know, the
what does it look like when it's not anti-arachnophobic?
It looks like little kitty faces.
Did they really put kitty faces on them?
Yeah. They just replaced the entire thing with a 2D sprite that looks like a kitty face.
Really?
Yes.
You're not joking.
I'm not joking. Look it up.
Kitty faces.
I mean, I don't, I'm not that bad, but yeah, satisfactory anti-arachnophobic mode. Or arachnophobia mode. Oh, this is a really bad video that I found, but because it's like one tip, yeah. If you turn the arachnophobia mode on, it's just like a tabby cat kitty face. It's amazing. It takes the frightening part completely out of those things, because those are kind of creepy. Basically, what those things look like is, if you've ever played the new Prey, they look like the morphers, the little morph guys that will turn into little things. They kind of look like that, only they're incessantly fucking jumping at you, and they jump at you in groups, and yeah, they're not very easy to hit with with the rebar gun.
Yeah, well, the rebar shotgun's pretty good for them.
Yeah, the rebar shotgun maybe, but ha, fucker!
It's floating cat heads.
Another one bites the dust. I think I got the one that fucked my nose. I don't know. I'm gonna start naming them. George is dead. but yeah. Yeah, there's arachnophobe mode for this game, and I appreciate the developers doing it, because if I remember correctly, there is one specific area on the map that is just covered in those damn things.
Yeah, I found uranium. And it was also by a bunch of the fucking jumping crickets.
Yeah, fuck them things. So turn them into, into cats, and then shoot them, because I don't know.
I feel like there's like 20 in there, but like unfortunately, I drove through there with my truck, right? And when you're on your truck, nothing does any damage to you, really. So I drove through there on my truck.
Jolene is dead.
And then got through the cave to see what was on the other side, right? Like, that was, like, I got a bunch of stuff just grinding away. It's going to take, like, an hour and a half for all these materials to craft. I'm going to go exploring. So I went exploring and then passed through, like, 20 of them, and then got out into the open, into the jungle that was outside of that cave. And got my lunch ate by the space pork, whatever they are.
The space pork. The hogs?
Yes, the space hogs. Space pork. I like space pork better.
Space pork is better.
there's the big ones that space hit a lot harder.
It's what's for dinner.
They ate my lunch, and so all the shit that I had in my bag was all the way over in the jungle through that cave. I didn't want to build another, like, truck. So I just ran. Like, I already had at that point the running enhancement and jumping enhancement. So I'd run a few steps and jump. And so I ran and jumped through that that spider infested cave, getting over to my bag to open it up to find that it had uranium in it, which killed me instantly.
Oh, shit.
Because I was like, I wonder if you can mine it. So I did, and I didn't realize it was, it's really irradiated over here. I need to go away. Didn't realize having uranium in your pocket. I mean, I should have, right? But yeah. Having uranium in your pocket will also kill you pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So after I figured out what was going on, I ran through the spider cave again to get to the jungle to try to dodge the fucking space pork to get to my bag and then, piece by piece, grab something out of it, lead the space pork away, run back, grab a couple more items out of the box. And every time you get close, it lowers your health because there's fucking uranium in my backpack. It took me a while, but I was like, I'm about to die again. I don't have any healing items on me. I'm just going to move a little bit further away. And that way I'll drop all those things over there and then slowly picked all my stuff up and died all in the same spot. So at the end, I had four boxes of shit that I had to get through. And then I picked up my truck and then drove all the way back. I was like, I need to find a better system for this.
Yes, you do.
I need to find a good way of getting rid of all it. I wish there was turrets or something I could stick in that cave and just let it eradicate all the space spiders.
I think the cave that I'm talking about. Yeah, that's the same
one. Is it the one that has a uranium vein inside of it?
They've moved the uranium veins around, but yes, I think I remember uranium being in there. And don't fuck with uranium. Don't fuck with radioactive anything until you are ready for it. It is.
At least I know where it's at.
Not worth it.
Yeah, at least I know where it's at, and I'm sure that's for nuclear power, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but even nuclear power sucks. So in a way, it sucks because you have to deal with the waste. And the waste is radioactive just being near it. So,
you could sell it.
What's that?
You could sell it for coupons.
Well, you can't sell radioactive waste for coupons.
You can't?
Nope.
So what do you do with it?
You have to deal with it. What do you do? What do we do with radioactive?
You bury it.
So yeah, it becomes an entire new fucking problem once you get to nuclear energy because you do have to deal with the radioactive waste from that energy. And I know that there's a way to deal with it, but you have to figure that way out. So there is a way to deal with it, but you won't. I don't think you immediately end up with that way. So you have to kind of deal with radioactive waste until you find a way to deal with it the right way. So a lot of people just when they find, or if they build nuclear power plants, they build it way far away from their base, and they go out there with the right shit. They set it up, make sure that fucker is completely automated, and never go back out there again. it's just, yeah. And then one of the videos that I was watching just before we started recording was of a dude that built a massive, massive 130,000 kilowatt fucking radioactive fucking nuclear power plant. Huge. And of course it was one of those, I call them glamour builds because it's everything is in the right spot, everything is perfectly aligned, all that shit, right?
I think the bigger problem is you have limited inventory space, so if you fuck up your building, you have to move it piece by piece or just build somewhere else.
So I think the first when I first talked to you about this game, I said that to not get worried about your initial builds being the shit, looking like shit, because everybody's initial builds look like shit, and not to tear everything down and move it, because eventually what you'll end up doing is you'll use your initial starter base as kind of an outpost that, it's already set up to do just basic resources, right? you want, and you're going to end up getting into like tier 4, tier 5, tier 6 shit, which is going to be even more complex. So you're going to, you know, you're probably going to move away from your base anyway to do that, closer towards the rarer resources. So that's when you start making the pretty build, you know, the stuff that, you know, that makes perfect sense, you know, and has everything, you know, ratioed out to, you know, to be just perfect. And you leave your initial build, you know, you leave that shit well alone, because you can move the space elevator. You can move the hub and the MAM and everything else to wherever you want it to be. So, you know, that's basically what I'm doing, is I've got my initial, you know, first few tiers set up here. I'm going to get up through steel, and then I'm probably going to find some place centralized in the map. And I'm going to build, you know, my next few tiers worth of shit there, because it'll be kind of equidistant, you know, from all of the really rare nodes. And then I can train that shit in. Eventually, you'll get trained. But yeah, right now, I got a Xenobasher.
Yeah, I've got the rebar gun and working on the rifle. And like I said, having the jetpack upgrade helps quite a bit, because there's a, like, I just went exploring, right, in the mushroom forest and past the mushroom forest to a big, desolate looking ocean that had a lot of stuff that I needed for upgrades for my stuff. But like, I think it's a, if you don't have the goal of trying to finish the game right away, it's a pretty good pick up, put down game, right? Like, I don't really feel like doing anything right now. Oh yeah, I got Satisfactory. I could chip away at that, right? Work on a problem. I mean, I know exactly where I left off. I kind of left off at a good point. Might be one of those things you might want to make some kind of, like, the way that I do my saves on it is I'll save, and on my save title, it's look for oil. So it reminds me what I need to do next. And then I delete my old save. So, like, you get your auto saves, but when I save and quit, like, that's how I do it. It's just I put a note on my save as to what I was doing.
You and can then, leave yourself a sign, too.
Oh, I didn't think about leaving myself a sign. That's a good idea, too. But it's a really good game to, like, I'm doing something. I don't feel like doing anything. Like, it's mentally stimulating, right? Because you're solving problems. But it's not very often that the problem wants you to solve it in this moment. And you don't ever really need to pause the game, right? In fact, it's like anti-productive to pause the game, because you got stuff crafting in the background, right? So if you die, okay, I'm going to respawn. Right? Like, you just put yourself on the top of your base and, like, go make dinner.
Right.
Go up in a, you know, a lookout tower and, like, go make dinner or something, right? But it's, I don't know, it's a good pick-up, put-down game. It's a really good, I'm not even a factory-building guy, and I like this game. Definitely glad to see it in 1.0, and glad to see that it finally came out. Like, glad to have it this year, honestly. Been a very weird release year where everything's kind of releasing at the tail end that's worth a damn. But yeah. Video games.
Bidgy games.
Do we need to take a break?
Yeah. Let's take a break.
All right. We'll be back. And we're back.
We were supposed to do a thing? Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're still playing Satisfactory over there.
Well, you know. I won't even deny it anymore. It's a thing.
Do you guys remember Killer Clowns from Outer Space?
I remember Killer Tomatoes from Outer Space. But yes, Killer Clowns. Yes, I do.
Yeah. So that was a game, right? And then for whatever reason, they added Tom Savini and Elvira to the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Or why?
I forgot that game came out. But yeah, that's totally a thing. I just thought that was kind of funny.
That is kind of funny. Wow.
But why?
Well,
what is it? Is it one of those asymmetrical or horror survival games?
Yeah, hold on.
It is.
I'm finding out. Let's see.
It's got to be.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is.
It's got to be.
Let me read the tagline.
Okay.
Let's see. It's asymmetrical. It pits seven hapless humans against three killers.
Uh-huh. 7v3, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
I see how it is.
I don't play a lot of those games, so that's why I probably saw it and was like, yeah, that's not my thing. Not my thing. Something else is kind of interesting, though. There are talks about Hideo Kojima doing a Death Stranding movie.
How would that even... I don't... What? Okay, so Death Stranding is mind-bending as it is. You can follow it.
That game's weird as hell.
You could follow it, but it really does kind of require, you know, a little bit of augmented reality to fully understand how that shit works. I swear to God. I think he does some acid before he starts to write, because nothing he does makes any sense. But
yeah, but you know what, though? Of all of his games, and I'm including all of the Metal Gears up to this point, that is probably the one being in the most like sci-fi setting of them all. And after having played through it, I could definitely see how you could make that into a movie. Like, obviously, you're not going to, you're just going to focus on, like the main stopping points in the story for a movie, right? But, yeah, if you're talking like a 3-hour film, I could see you hitting the high points in a movie.
Yeah.
And I could see you making the, the monsters look plausible and good. Like, that's of everything he's done, as weird as the baby batteries are, that would totally, yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, it's just talks. So it came from a conversation from Variety Magazine, right? And he was just kind of talking that, like, so Death Stranding is their first IP with his own company, right? Because he departed from Konami. And, you know, now that he's got all the staff for all of those things, they're working on Death Stranding 2, right? Like, we've seen commercials for that. That's something that they're working on. But he said the work essentially, like, summing up this article, he said the work process for doing a movie nowadays is not the same. You don't have to use film. You can go all digital, right? So he has the resources and the mocapping and the actors and all of those things already kind of built in order to do so. So it's something that he wants to do, but he's also got another game to create, and that's Death Stranding 2, and he's got a couple of other smaller projects that he's working on right now. He's got that weird game that looked like it was kind of half movie, half game called OD that was being released through Microsoft that he's also working on at the same time. So, but it is interesting, like, he's kind of at that point, like, Kojima is in his 60s, you know. He's been around. He's been making games since we were little kids. So,
I mean, he's been making games since he was a kid.
Basically, yeah, I think he might have been like a teenager when he started.
Yeah, he was like 18 or 19, like when his first game came out. He's been doing it a really long time.
Yeah, Remedy still hasn't broke even with Alan Wake 2. So they just entered a 15 million euro loan agreement with Tencent. Which is a little bit scary. I think part of that, though, is, like, I give it a lot of... I don't really give Epic a lot of shit. Like, I do have games on Epic, right? And I'm not as crazy as Rusty in that I didn't buy Satisfactory on Epic and Steam. But, like, I've got a handful of games I play on Epic account, right, that were exclusive. Satisfactory's been exclusive till, what, just recently on Steam?
It was... Well, Satisfactory was on Epic. I picked it up on Epic. And I think when it hit 1.0, it's when it came to Steam.
I think so, too. Like, once it hit 1.0, it was no longer early access. We're like, okay, we'll release on multiple platforms. Right. And Alan Wake 2 is still on a Epic-only thing. And there's still a weird division there that people won't purchase something on Epic if they're really hardcore about Steam. Steam has, like, over 35 million users. Like, that's the thing. Like, Epic does sell some games on there. Like, they sell quite a bit of games. There's a whole bunch of trash games, and their filtering system's way worse than Steam's for that. But the, like, there's a whole lot of trash games, but it's mostly mostly fueled by Fortnite, right? And that's how that Epic has stayed alive, that and Unreal Engine, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think that they have the kind of purchasing that happens on Epic that Steam does on a day-to-day basis. Like, all sorts of indie games are being sold on Steam all the time. Like, you'd almost say, like, that might be part of their backbone. It's just, like, tons and tons and tons of small games coming out all the time that are on Steam. I've got a lot of them, right? In the last, I don't know, 3 months, I've probably bought 15 games on Steam.
I mean, shoot, about the only thing you haven't resorted to buying is all these little anime porn games that end up on there.
No, a little bit more deductive than that. I just, sometimes I don't have the time I thought to play something, and so it goes into a very new play later folder until I get a chance, and then you do what I do right now, which is kind of going through your backlog. But yeah, that's... I'm always scared because I feel like Tencent is just trying to take over the whole gaming industry at this point. I don't really want them to have stake in Remedy because they're a good company. But it is what it is. They got pretty soon. I feel like at some point, like, Epic's going to own everything. Or not Epic, Tencent.
Well, on a more positive note, California just... signed a new law last week that says basically digital stores have to admit that you're just licensing your games. You're not buying them. In a comment about the new law, one of the California Assembly members said, and I quote, "As retailers continue to pivot away from selling physical media, the need for consumer protections on the purchase of digital media has become increasingly important. Ensuring the false and deceptive advertising from sellers of digital media incorrectly telling customers they own their purchases becomes a thing of the past." So basically what they're trying to do is force storefronts like Steam and PlayStation and Ubisoft and everybody else to say, hey, you're only leasing this. You don't actually own it like you would if you had a physical disc. So it is completely within our right to be able to just make it disappear. Now, granted, that doesn't affect certain certain storefronts, like in a certain capacity, you know, Steam, depending on the developer, right? You can completely own the game outright, or you may not. You know, GOG for the most part is like complete ownership, I think. I don't remember seeing anything ever in their user agreements that says otherwise, but because you don't see a whole lot of live service games on GOG. So, yeah.
It's good old games.
Right. But, I mean, that's how it started because it was selling older games. It wasn't selling the newer stuff. But, yeah. But the idea was, the idea of actually owning your games, I don't know. I think I've just made my peace with it. To me, it sucks. Like, we used to have the ability just to say, yeah, I own this game. Yeah, I don't have to worry about it just disappearing on me. But realistically, like, the games that have disappeared, fucking weird shit is happening in my room, I swear. Of all things that fell off of my desk, mustard. But no, the idea of where was my brain going with this? Just the idea of owning a game, digitally, and having the rights to play it, basically, is the way that, the way that all software is going these days. You don't own Adobe Photoshop. You license it. You don't own anything Microsoft. You license it, That's just the way that the software industry has been going, and this is just an extension of that. It sucks. I mean, especially for a game that no longer is supported. If it's gonna disappear, but most of the big games that have disappeared, say like Concord, for instance, people bought Concord. Or bought the rights to Concord, the game flopped. Sony and everything just decided to pull it from storefronts and close down the servers. They ended up getting a refund for it, and that's, as long as that is the industry standard, where if it fails enough, and they, the developers can't fulfill their end of the bargain, and they go to the point where they're refunding, I don't see a problem with it. But if they get scummy and be like, we're no longer going to, we're no longer going to have these online servers after, a couple months of the game being out. Like, if fucking, as an example, if Space Marine 2 just announced that they're no longer going to host online servers anymore, you can still play the single player version of the game, but the online multiplayer is no longer supported. That would suck. I mean, and that's something that you would go after the developers and the publisher for.
Yeah.
Well, or, for example, if it won't be as big of an issue if, let's say, they were to actually give you warning ahead of time that, by the way, after this date, you're not going to be able to download and install this game any longer. So if you want a copy of it, you need to download it by X date.
Well, there's some games, right? Yeah, there's some games that, you know, that are pulled off of the Steam store, for instance, that you can still download if you have it in your games list. It'll take you to a basically like a hidden store page where you can download, you know, you can download the game only if you own it prior to, you know, prior to it taken down, and only on certain games.
Right, but that's what I think that's where most of the recent outrage has come, is that EA and Ubisoft both have just like completely removed it and even forced Steam to say, or, you know, forced Valve to remove it from Steam completely. You know, I'm not saying that happens every time, because it doesn't, but there have been a few notable exceptions where it has.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of the outrage started to come from.
So, you know, so this, I mean, this has been a problem for a while. We know that, you know, shit, back when, you know, when Steam was in its infancy and I could download games, I thought, oh, this is the coolest fucking thing ever, except I don't have the disc so that I can share it with my buddies. You know, that was one of the, you know, the big, you know, issues that I had with Steam originally. But I've got, you know, they've gotten smart about how to deal with, you know, with that kind of thing, right? They've, you know, did the, you know, the whole family sharing thing and a lot of, you know, a lot of little band-aid fixes, I would, you know, I'd call them, to be able to, you know, kind of say, yeah, this is okay. You know, you still don't own the game, but it's kind of okay still, right? If this is the way it goes, then eventually what we'll see, and we're starting to kind of see it now, with California saying, you know, to the publishers that they have to, you know, disclose that it's a, you know, that it's basically like a software license instead of, you know, a purchase. That leads to the next step, which is consumer protections for these types of things. And, you know, they'll, you know, I don't know what those will actually look like down the road, but if I wagered a guess, they would have some kind of consumer protection for a licensed game, to, you know, to be a viable game, and they would have to define what that viability is, right? And if the publisher doesn't meet this criteria of viability, then the publisher, you know, needs to refund, you know, refund the consumer for their license of the game. Like, if for instance, and it's kind of built into some other companies as well. If Adobe, you know, decided to go belly up for some reason, and I had purchased a year's worth of subscription for Adobe, the moment that they go belly up, or the moment they, you know, that software license is no longer valid, then I should be getting at least a prorated rate back, you know, for my license. That's kind of what's probably, you know, what I see going forward, for gaming, is that it's going to follow the software, you know, the PC software license, model. And yeah, it kind of sucks that we're no longer going to have, you know, we very much no longer have the option to pick up, you know, physical copies, but, you know, such is the day and age, you know. Especially when you've got fucking fiber internet, you can download shit instantly. Why would you want to, you know, get into your car, go down to the fucking store, hope that they still have it, you know, pick it up, drive back, install it, when you should have had, you know, shit, you have that shit done in 5 fucking minutes if you have fiber.
Yeah, it's a whole new world nowadays.
Oh yeah.
Well,
got something else, man. And, got soapboxes. Feed me.
So anyway, so that's a positive move towards that sort of stuff in the U.S., right? And then, in even more positive news, in a in a study that was commissioned over in the UK by Oxford University, which analyzed data from over 8,500 players across 40 countries, including the US and the UK. 72% of simulator. I am not the only one.
No, it is a weird phenomenon. But yes, I too have felt better painting other people's shit in Power Wash Simulator, just because I don't know. There's something about the the you know, going from a dirty environment to a clean environment, and I don't know, maybe the monotony of it just reminds you of work. You can turn your brain off,
right?
And it's not a game that pisses you off. Like, there's nothing really in that game that would piss you off, outside of maybe like that one little speck that you missed and you're trying to find. But honestly, that's kind of a rarity, but you can kind of see the fruits of your labor as you go along.
Yeah. And you know, it's cathartic.
It is.
Right? It stimulates all of those same good feeling pleasure centers that actually doing something positive, in the real world, organizing your house the way you want it, or shopping for some people, reading to other people, listening to music for some. You know, it's those same things. It has the same effect, which is totally, totally understandable. And I think it's cool, studies like this, you know, just proving that not everything about video games is nearly as negative as the media tries to paint it sometimes.
Right. It's sometimes that's all you need. That's is something just to, you know, occupy your brain.
Well, speaking of occupying your brain, I guess this is a horrible tie-in. So you guys have heard of Deadlock?
I've heard of Death Clock.
Okay, so Valve's working on another game and has been for a while.
Okay. Yeah, that one. I think we talked about the rumor a couple months ago.
Yeah, well, it's been in beta for a while. And it's a, you know, it's a hero shooter MOBA kind of style game, right? They're testing out anti-cheat, and one of the things they're doing with their anti-cheat is giving people the chance of just banning people outright or turning them into frogs for the rest of the match with no abilities. So
frog them.
So cheaters being frogged. But yeah, that is something. There's like 100,000 people playing it in beta right now. Like, there's quite a few people playing it in beta. So that is a thing.
Man, I don't know if I'd want to be frogged or not.
You just wouldn't cheat.
Well, I guess I wouldn't have a problem because I don't cheat. Yeah, you're right. I'm not a rat bastard like that. Yep, you're right.
Yeah, so another rumor that came out that's actually been posted by IGN is that so they recently announced that the remasters of StarCraft are coming out on Game Pass, right? And then they haven't said which one, but one of the shooters that they had for StarCraft is rumored to be back in development. So
one of the shooters.
Yes.
They didn't have... Well,
they had Ghost.
They had Ghost, yeah. So, and that was, like, the original disappointment. Like, if I remember correctly, that, you know, that game came out, and that game was, you know, reported to be coming out, and I wanted that game. That was back in the fucking GameCube days, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then there was another one that was supposed to come out called Codenamed Ares that was canceled in 2019 so they could focus on Diablo 4 and Overwatch 2, which is supposed to be like Battlefield in the StarCraft universe. So, don't have a lot of details, but it was just talked about from one of the producers that was actually working on the game right now.
Well, if they can pull off... Well, it's kind of a weird time. Like...
Shooters are not in the best space right now.
Well,
like those types of shooters.
We say that, but you know, Space Marine 2 just made a pretty.
But it's not a Call of Duty. It's a first. It's not a multiplayer. I mean, it is, but it's built around a single player experience first, with the multiplayer stuff there too.
Okay. Well, I mean, if it's anything like. What the initial fucking Ghost game was supposed to be, that shit's aged, and it hasn't aged well. Like, that was, you know, that was right around the same time as, like, Splinter Cell. The fucking, yeah, the name was right there. But yeah, it was right around the time Splinter Cell was big, and fucking there hasn't been a new Splinter Cell for it ever.
The last one was Black Flag. I have it in my
I know you played it.
Blacklist.
Blacklist.
I have it in my library.
Yeah. That was the last time, you know, that was, you know, so Ghost was right around that same time that, you know, they were coming around with,
canceled in 06.
06. Yeah. See, and
this is before we were podcasting. Like, this is back when we were in our early 20s.
Right. I don't see, unless they, you know, and it's so far removed from any new StarCraft game that it doesn't make any sense.
StarCraft's like, so far removed from any StarCraft game. StarCraft 2 came out, like, what, 15 years ago? Or maybe not quite that long. It was long ago. It was, like, maybe season one of Tiltcast that it came out?
It was long-ass time ago. I know, I remember it being a long-ass time ago. Yeah, I was still living with Jason back then. Fuck. That was a really long
time. July 27th, 2010. And in fact, it may have came out in the first... We might have talked about it in the first five episodes of the Tiltcast.
Yeah.
Or I was playing it then.
Yeah. That's so long ago, man.
14 years ago. And they're doing, you know, they got a remaster coming out on Game Pass, which that's cool.
Okay. And even though there's a remaster coming out, I don't see it being the right time. You know, because if they do actually have, you know, if they do come out with with that game, it's just, how's it going to tie in? Like, no.
I don't know. Yeah, what we need right now is we need more Baldur's Gate. We need more games like that.
I have been, this year I've been chipping away at lots and lots and lots of building and survival games. I need a somewhat focused RPG, not open world thing, which is why Space Marine, once I got back into it, was so easy to get into. It's like, oh yeah, I've got something I'm going to play and complete. Thank you. I've got a lot of games that are like endless in my library, and it's like I can only play endless games for so long, and it leaves you with this feeling of like you didn't actually accomplish anything. And so that's kind of a, I want more games I can finish, I guess. We've been speaking of games. I have no transition for this. Do you guys remember the day before?
I remember the...
Do you remember the scam?
Yesterday?
Yeah. do you remember the scam? Studio Fantastic or whatever it was called out of Singapore? That developed it, and then they ripped a lot of assets off of other games. And, you know, allegedly, right? Most wishlisted game on Steam for a while. And then, like, 3 days later, the game came down. And then the studio went under.
I remember that now. Yeah.
Yep. It might be a really elaborate hoax, but they launched a Kickstarter to relaunch the day before. It's a very specific amount of money. They're looking to raise $15,535 to bring the game to fruition.
That's funny.
So.
Yeah, it is a very specific number, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm gonna pull it up. I'm gonna see how much money is.
$2.15.
No, this was actually on IGN. Let's see. Go to fantastic.com. Once you helped us create Fantastic through Kickstarter, today we'll need your help again to bring Fantastic back by funding our new game on Kickstarter and supporting us on social media. Let's see. How do I figure out? All right, let's go to the Kickstarter. 26 days to go. Man, people are just fucking... Oh, it's a different game. It's called Escape Factory. It's a physics-based multiplayer co-op escape game set in dangerous factories for 4 to 8 players. Art style looks like 3D Worms. Okay. $2,244 pledged of $15,000. That's 37 backers. What idiots 2, are giving 000? These... Yeah, what idiots are giving these people money?
I don't know. Friends and family.
I'm pretty sure they got whatever money they were getting and just booked it.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Scummy,
that was like everything. Yeah, that was like the best example of like things you should not give these guys money. Like, that's nuts. So anyways, that was all the stories I had. Jason, did you have anything else?
Nope, that was 2 I had.
Well, do you got anything else to talk about?
Oh, no. I'm good. Thank
you. All right. Well, then find us at tiltcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Twitter.com/tiltcast. Find our new YouTube channel, youtube.com/tiltcast.com/shorts with a Z, and search for us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe.
Find some friends of the show. You've got For the Love of Gaming. You've got Picking Up the Pixels, and you got TVGP.TV. They do fantastic things, and they podcast like we do. And with that, it's the end of the show.
All right. Peace.